Well, good morning, Christ Church friends and family. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in with us. Listen, you could be doing anything, but you decided to spend your Sunday with us. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Amen. Come on, give us some love. Hey, if this is your first time being here, thank you guys for being here. Don't forget, share this experience. If I haven't met you, my name is Jovan. I happen to be one of the pastors here at Christ Church. And again, I'm so honored to serve you and your family and whoever you're with this awesome Sunday morning. Well, guys, before I get into the message, let me say a quick prayer, and then we'll jump right into it. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you encourage us and you inspire us to become more like Christ. Because the more we're like Christ, the more we're actually living our lives in full. Christ said in himself that he came so that we may have life and have it in abundance. So, Father, I know and I understand that the abundant life is a life that's centered on you. That the abundant life is a life that is rich in knowing and following you. So, Lord, we pray that we can do that more and more today. I pray for those who are a little bit lacking or a little bit in need of some encouragement in their faith. I pray that this message just does that. I pray that this message would inspire them to know you better and to understand that their best days are yet ahead of them. I love you, and I'm thankful for you. In Christ's perfect name is what we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, guys, we are continuing our series that we started a few weeks ago, and the series titled is Center. Now, I'm just going to let you know, Chet's going to take some credit for this, but listen, I encourage him to do this message series. All right, so when next time you see him, be like, didn't Javon tell you to do that? I'm a humble man. Don't worry about it. But anyway, we're continuing this series called Centered, and the idea is that we are discussing what does it look like to be centered in Christ. The importance of it, the value that is in it. See, what we've been learning and understanding is that whatever we center our lives around, it begins to drive many things. It begins to drive our habits, begins to drive our motives, our disciplines, our principles, you name it. Guess what? It's guiding it. But not only does the centered life in Christ affect what we do, but also, let me encourage you today, the centered life affects how we live. How we live, but also how we change as well. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever found yourself wanting to change something about you, but you found it that it's hard? Because here's the thing, friends. Change is hard. Because almost each and every one of us have something we either want to stop or something we want to start. How many of us, by the raising your hands, even though I can't see you, by the raising your hands, how many of us have had New Year's resolutions? Let me stop and ask, how is your New Year's resolution going? Are you still going? Did you know that research proves that 80% of people that have New Year's resolutions by February, they stop? Yes, it's true. So if you got your New Year's resolution continuing, good job. Keep up the good work. But if you're like me, welcome to the club. I had a New Year's resolution, and this is going to shock you, but don't judge me, all right? Christ got me. I wanted to start doing yoga. Yes, it's true. I bought me some tight stuff to wear to the yoga. We don't need to go that far. But anyway, I wanted to start doing yoga because I was encouraged by it. I heard so many great things about it. I have very close friends and their spouses that do it. They talked about how it affects them and how it's benefited them in the long run. So I decided to do it. And guess what, church? It lasted a whole 2 minutes. A whole 2 minutes because I started my very first yoga class and I could not get through. One has to ask this question. Why is it hard to commit to change? I mean, let's just be honest. Why is it hard to commit to change? See, for a lot of us, and maybe you're like me when I wanted to start yoga, for a lot of us, we thought that change is focusing on what we do, the action, which is very important because we got to have some skin in the game, right? We got to put our one foot in front of the other and start putting some action into some of the change. But I believe for a lot of us don't know that not only does change have a direct effect on our actions, but also change should be committed in how we live as well. Because I believe this, friends, lasting and thriving change begins with a solid foundation. Because change isn't so much a focusing on what we do, but rather change is focusing on who you become. Your character is way more important than the action. Don't get me wrong, action is a big deal. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But the character up front needs to be the driving force for the change. And as followers of Christ, our job is to change. But our change is driven and guided in becoming. See, our main driver for this series is to understand this. When Christ is at the center, we fully become who he has designed and called us to be. When Christ is at the center of everything, not saying everything else we don't take of importance, like family and our well-being. No. Those things are very important, but at the center of everything that keeps my family the way that it needs to be, that help me to become the friend and the employee or whoever you may be, Christ has to be at the center. So I don't know about you, but I've ran into in my life where Christ wasn't at the center, right? When things were at the center, or stuff, or how about this? People were at the center. Or can I take it a step further? You ready? It was myself. Oh, I think I just hit some nerve today. It was myself that was at the center. And I've noticed this, when Christ is taken out of the center, that's how I become unhealthy. Let me just be honest with you. When Christ is taken out of the center, and when it's things and it's people and it's our job and our careers and our salary, whatever it may be, I've noticed that's a quicker road to a place called unhealthy. But when Christ is the center of our lives, is the main reason why we exist, is the main reason why we get out of our bed, husbands and wives, is the main reason why you love your spouse, moms and dads, is the main reason why you get up and you sacrifice for your children, CEOs, bosses, whoever you may be, it's the reason why you exist. When he is the center, then guess what, friends? We are fully living out all that God had designed and called us to be. So here's my challenge for you today. Now, I'm going to say this up front, but I'm going to talk about it at the end. You ready? My prayer for you is that this time next year, you're going to be different, because God wants you to be different. God wants you to go from where you are to actually where you need to be. And we only get to that place when he's in the center. We only get to that place when Christ is in the middle, when our hearts and our minds are devoted to him. Not saying we're never going to mess up. Not saying it's going to be an easy road. No, I understand circumstances, uncertainty, COVID, whatever it may be. We all have our challenges, but it doesn't get in the way of the truth of always having Christ at the center of our lives, because there's so much more benefit when he is in the middle of everything. I want to read out of one of my favorite passages. If you've been in church long enough, you probably know this passage. Well, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. Get out your Bibles. Yes, the physical Bible. You can't be on your Bible app if you're on your phone, right? So get out your physical Bible. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Just two verses today. Very easy verses, very verses that kind of hit the core of what we want to talk about, get some practical truth out of all of this, and therefore help it to apply into our lives. Romans is written by a guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. Paul was a man that wrote to this church, and pretty much he's trying to communicate kind of what we're talking about today. Hey guys, you guys need to focus on allowing Christ to be the center of your lives. Again, not allowing the world or things or anything else, but Christ mainly at the center. And so for the first few chapters, Paul gets right into this thing called theology. That's how we understand and come to know God. Some things that really excite me, it might bore you, but I really love. But the reason why he goes over this is to really dig into the heart of God. And friends, let me help you to understand this. In order to continue to be centered, we have to always pursue God's heart. We have to always pursue God's heart. Because God wants to reveal more of himself to you. And how does he do that? Through the pages of Scripture. God speaks, and he's active, and he's living, and it's powerful, and he wants to speak to you. But not only does he speak through his word, guess what? He speaks through his people, which is the reason why I listen to my wife. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's the reason why, honey, if you're watching right now, I want a steak when I get home. But anyway, this is the reason why, because God speaks to us, and he wants us to know his heart. So what does Paul do? Paul goes right into it and helps us to understand what we need to do after all the information that we know. I want to read in verse 1 in chapter 12. It says this: "Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you," there's this holy urgency to Paul, "I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true spiritual worship." Let me jump right back into it. He goes, "Do not be conformed to this age, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I don't know about you, but I got to renew some things that are going up in here. "By the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, perfect will of God." Paul is going to jump right into this passage and help us to understand this. The Christian life is all about transformation. It's all about us changing. But we're changing after the idea of what Christ and who he wants us to become. Right off the bat, Paul talks about this idea of view of God's mercy. Because before we can focus on the actual action, again, we got to be rooted in this thing called foundation. See, before we can ever take the steps, we got to understand why we need to take the steps. And Paul talks about it right here in verse 1, in view of the mercies of God. Mercies in this type of way can be translated as compassion. Compassion. The first 11 chapters, Paul has talked nothing about the compassion and the mercy of God. If there's one thing that I can break God down to, if there's one word, and there's many words, but if there's this one word that I can break God down to, and it's this idea of that he is compassionate. The gospel itself is rooted in mercy and compassion. God is a compassionate and merciful God. The things that have happened for us through Christ, all of it, just think about this. Paul has talked about this. All of this is guided and rooted in the heart of God, and that's compassion. See, here's the thing. God knew our destiny if he didn't intervene in our presence. God knew what our destiny was going to look like. God knew what our future was going to be if he had not gotten involved. And so because of his love, and because of his compassion, because of his faithfulness, God decided to come in and send his son to save us from what we deserve. Friends, this is the heart of the gospel. And I want you to understand this. The more we internalize the gospel, the more we actually grow. This is the reason for the change. This is the reason for the becoming. This is the reason that we are transforming daily, actively. It's because what God has done. But what's interesting about compassion, it's not just a past tense word. It's actually a present tense word as well, too. Because the compassion God showed on the cross, it's still showing up even in our own lives. I don't know about you, but I can think of the many times where I deserve the worst. I deserve the worst. I mistreated a friend. I mistreated someone who I love. Mistreated an employee. I did something I wasn't supposed to do. I made a decision that was just left me in so much shame and regret. And I deserve the worst. But because of the heart of God, because of the hand of God, even though I deserve the worst, he decided to give me his best. How about that, friends? That is nothing but encouraging. That is the gospel. This is why we need to continuously be on the path of changing. And our changing isn't so God can like us. It's because God's been so good to us. Our change in our becoming when we do away with certain things and we do away with certain lifestyle, it is all because God has been infinitely merciful every single day of our lives. So Paul says, listen, because God's been so good to you, because God has been so gracious to you, because here's the thing, we don't deserve the goodness that he shows, but he decides to show it anyway. The gospel becomes the doorway for change. It's the door to change. We don't need another social reform. We don't need anything else but the gospel to help change us in who we need to become. And like I said before, the more we internalize the gospel, the more we internalize the work of God on the cross and even the work of God in our lives because of the cross, even when we continue to internalize it, friends, the more we grow. So Paul tells us this is the foundation of change, God's mercy, God's goodness. This is why you get up every day, because God has been more merciful for you than you can ever know and imagine and ever understand. But now Paul shifts and takes a quick turn to help us to understand that, yes, now that we have a foundation, now it's got to lead to application. Because foundation without application is empty. Am I right, church? Right? If we know what we know, but we don't do from what we know, then we miss the whole point. And that's Christianity 101. Our doing is not because we've been good. Our doing is because of what's been done, what's continuously being done in our lives. And look what he says. In view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true spiritual worship. Paul talked about the foundation. Here's the practice. The first practice is, read it right there at the end of the verse. In the middle of the verse, I'm sorry. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He uses an Old Testament practice from the ancient Israelites. An Old Testament practice of how they would worship God through animal sacrifice. And so here's what he's saying. He's saying, in the same way, offer yourselves to God. Just as the Israelites, when they would come into the temple and they would have these religious traditions and all these things, Paul is saying, this is what I want you to do. In the same way, offer yourselves to God. This word really means to deny yourself. I notice this. I become who I need to be when I deny who I think I need to become. Let me say that one more time. I become who I need to be when I deny what I want to become. This idea of Christianity is all about denying ourselves. The very same words Paul is echoing from who? Jesus himself. What does he constantly always tell his disciples? Deny yourself. If you want to come after me, if you want to follow me, if you want to see what God has for you in your life, if you want me to show you all the great things that I have for you in your life, deny yourself. Offer yourselves to God. So the idea of denying ourselves, because when we offer ourselves daily to God, we are then putting ourselves in a position where we are on defense against the sin and the temptations of this world. Because at the end of the day, what robs us from growth is temptation. Am I right? What robs us from becoming? It's temptation. It's sin. And sin is always at the back door, knocking, wanting to come into our houses. And Paul says this, you lock those doors when you offer yourselves to God. When you wake up daily, you say, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. Use me how you want me to be used. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Use me. Use my hands. Use my feet. Use my ears, my eyes, my mind, my heart to do your will for your good, for your kingdom. So this is our true spiritual worship, as Paul has talked about. Actively giving ourselves over to God, again, becomes the door to who we need to become in this life. Here's the thing, friends. Finding yourself is giving up yourself. We find life when we give it up. Jesus says this. Did you remember what he says? In the gospel, Jesus says, for what does it benefit, or what does it profit a man if he were to forfeit the whole world but yet lose his own soul? What does it profit? He says, actually, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, guess what? You're actually going to save it. So Paul talks about that becoming starts with offering. So So friends, here's a very clear practice we can do in our daily lives. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, Chet talked about prayer. Have a daily prayer and say to yourself, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm your guy, I'm your girl. I'm your son, I'm your daughter. And it's all because of the work in the hands of Jesus Christ. So use me how you want me to be used. Lead me not into temptation. Keep me away from the things that I want to do. Lead me to the places that I need to be. I'm offering myself to you. I'm submitting myself to what you want, what you desire, and what you need me to do. This is how we ought to live. But then Paul continues, because Paul's excited. Paul just got done preaching the gospel to all these folks. So he gives us number one, to become begins with offering. Number two, let's get into this next point. In verse two, he says, do not be conformed to this age. Do not be conformed to this age. You know, what prevents me from changing is because there's so many things taking my attention. There's so many things distracting me. You know what's really sad? Back when The Office was on Netflix, I'm still hurt about it, just to let everybody know. I'm still hurt about it. It's okay. They made me pay to get the seasons, you know, and all that stuff, but that's okay. That's okay. I still got to get my Michael Scott in. Jesus, Paul, Michael Scott. Those are the three. So we're having fun here. Am I right, church? We're having a lot of fun. But it's interesting. When you watch Netflix, right, it gets to the point, if you're watching it for so long, it literally stops it and tells you and asks you, are you still watching the show? Has that ever happened to you? Because guess what? It happened to me. And I would just have the TV on. I wouldn't even be watching it. It would just be on. And I've noticed that there's so many things stealing and taking away my attention. And when I don't have the attention in the right places, then guess what? It's going to lead me to the wrong places. There's so many things robbing our attention. The news, our phones, social media, whatever it may be. There's so many things robbing our attention. And here's what Paul is trying to say. Don't conform. Don't be like the world. One of my favorite quotes is by one of my favorite pastors. He says this, when we lack discipline, we're probably going to easily be distracted. Tony Evans said that, one of my favorite preachers. When we lack discipline, we're probably easily distracted. And distracted Christians are robbing what God has entrusted to them in their life. Friends, that convicted my heart. I said, you didn't have to say it like that, Tony. You could have been nicer, could have quoted a Psalm 23 or something, but you just had to go to the soul. But it's easy to conform to the world. It's easy to conform to what's going on around you. And Paul says, in order to become, you might have to separate yourself. Because as Christians, listen, I want you to understand this. We're called to be different. It's true. Not in the sense where we're think we're better than people. Not in the sense where we're trying to be more prideful. But it's because we have a calling. Because God put a purpose and a calling in our lives. See, Christ didn't just die for us just to die for us. He died for us so he can save us from sin. But also he died for us so we can live a life of purpose and abundance for his joy. But what prevents me from becoming and living that life is when I look like the world more than I look like Christ. That's hard. It's a hard truth. I gotta swallow this pill, and hopefully I'm not the only one. Sometimes what robs me of growth, what robs me of God's best for me in my life is so busy I'm trying to be like the person next to me. It's because I'm trying to be like the person that's in front of me. It's because I'm trying to be like everybody else. And so here's what he's saying. Do not conform to the world. Detach yourself. Become more like Christ. But then he gives the third one. This is an exciting one. He says, number one, to become and to change begins when we offer up ourselves. Number two, when we not conform to the world. But number three, by renewing of our minds. Let's finish verse two. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. I don't know about you. I want to sit on this point for a little bit. Because my thoughts are what rob me of joy. My thoughts My thought habits and my thought patterns is what keeps me from God's best. So often am I listening to the voice of insecurity. So often am I listening to the voice of fear. So often I'm listening to the voice of doubt. So often am I listening to the voice of not good enough and all of those things. And we've all have been there before. But therefore, Paul says, in order to become, you need to renew your mind. I don't know about you, but 2020 helped me to understand that I need to focus on my mind a lot more. I need to focus on what goes on up here. Because the truth of the matter is this. When our thoughts change, guess what, friends? We change. Changing our thoughts, renewing our thoughts, storing up, and I'm going to go right back to it. You might call me a religious a preacher, but guess what? That's what I am. We got to store our minds with the word of God. We got to allow God's voice to be louder than those inner voices. We got to allow God's truth to be louder than the lies that we tell ourselves. And Paul says, not only do I need you to offer yourself up to God, not only do I need you to detach yourself from the influences of this world, but also, more importantly, I need you to renew your mind. Because how you think determines who you become. Your actions reflect your thoughts. One of my favorite pastors, pastors of Life Church, Craig Rochelle, has been doing this series for the last few weeks. Sarah, you guys may know Sarah, and I have literally been literally drooling over these messages because he has been talking about the idea of putting the focus in our minds so that we can live healthier and better for Christ. And I think it's up to us to take that initiative. Because our minds won't get better if we don't have a desire to get better. So I encourage you to watch those videos. Craig Rochelle at Life Church. You know that Bible, YouVersion Bible app that he uses? That church actually created that app for you to use. And I want to encourage you to take the time to really invest in your thoughts. To really invest in your mind. The scriptures are nothing but where we need to continuously land on the health of our thoughts. Because I always want our people to know this. We change when our thoughts change. We get better. We become when our thoughts are renewed. When our minds are stuffed with the things of God. There's a very famous verse in Colossians that says, if you have been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above. Set your minds on heavenly things. Set your mind on there's a God in heaven sustaining the world by the power of his hand. So no matter the uncertainty, no matter the setback, no matter what's going on, you know you have a God that is speaking in the moment but also knows what happens in the future. So set your mind on greater things, not on little things. This is our need today. That our thoughts got to get better. That our minds got to get healthier. It's actually God's desire for us to do that. It's actually God's desire for each and every one of us to get our minds right. And we get our minds right when we offer ourselves, when we distance ourselves from the world, and we take the initiative to renew our mind. Notice that all the commands Paul talks about are all commands that happen internally. Because here's the thing, friends. You have a war that's going on inside of you. Yep. Life's greatest battles and life's greatest issues aren't with the things that you see. But they're actually the things that you can't see. And the things that you feel and the things that you think. Paul understands and knows very well how amazing it is. A letter that was written 2,000 years ago from an ancient apostle who wrote this passage to this church, but also speaking to this church as well, that we would set in motion the war that's going on inside of us. And we can't win the war until we embrace that there is a war. You can't win the war until you embrace that there is a war. We can't become if we don't embrace what's going on inside of us. I asked you in the beginning, and I'm going to ask you again. this time next year, are you going to be different than where you are today? Let that resonate for just a little bit. I want you to really think about that. This time next year, are you still going to be the person that just is consumed with worry? Are you still going to be the person that is just consumed with the thoughts of anxiety? Are you still going to be the person that's consumed and allowing your life to be robbed because of who left you or who hurt you or what this person did, what that person did? If you're not comfortable to where you are, then I encourage you to invite Christ where you are today. I encourage you to invite him and to ask him to renew your minds. I encourage you and I invite you to ask him to lead you into perfect peace. I encourage you and I remind you to allow him to work on your hearts so that your hearts may be pure, so that your hearts may be whole, so that you may be different, so that you may become the person that he has called you to be. Friends, this is our hope. But becoming starts with you. And again, are you going to be the same person today? I'm sorry, are you going to be the same person tomorrow like you are today? Are you going to be the same person that's unwilling to forgive? Are you going to be the same person that's unwilling to be humble? Are you the same person that is selfish and prideful? See, in order to do that, we need to get engaged into the war that's going on inside. So I encourage you to do those things and ask yourself that question. Before I put in the action, I need to be rooted on the work and the grace of Christ. Before I do anything, I need to tell myself, Christ has been so good to me. And because he's been good, it's going to help and encourage me on who I need to become. Let's say a prayer. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message that the gospel is all that I need, because Christ is all that we need. Christ is all that we need for health. Christ is all we need to become. Christ is all that we need for real satisfaction and real wholeness and real joy and real contentment and real peace. So God, I pray that today that people can be delighted in the message and be encouraged and live authentically and boldly for you. God, I thank you once again that we can gather together and we can be not just encouraged, but we can also get to the point where we start to take action. Help those who are at a place that they don't want to be at today. Help them to get them where they are, to where they actually need to be. And you do that by your grace, by your compassion, by your love, by your mercy. Because grace sets the pace and it moves our hearts into the directions where you want it to go. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's perfect name is who I pray. Amen.